9 o'clock. Thanks for hanging out with us. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Winery. You could win a bottle of Talon wine. Maybe set that aside for your Christmas gathering coming up in a few weeks. You want to do that? Or maybe it's just you're having a day where you go, man, I just think I need a little Talon wine to give me a little pick-me-up. You can also win Qdoba today, too. Got something to complain about. We've got a lot to grouse about. We've talked about Brian Kelly, how he handled his departure from Notre Dame. Lincoln Riley, stop saying stupid stuff like, I'm a Sooner for life. No, you're not. You're going to USC. Stop it. And then don't tell your guys at Oklahoma they're the mecca of college football and then say the same damn thing about USC.
Well, if he's wrong about Oklahoma, maybe he's also wrong about USC being the mecca of college football. Maybe he ends up replacing Ryan Day.
Who knows? Stupid. Do you want that? Is that what you want?
No.
I mean, even what happened this last weekend, I wouldn't want. I mean, no offense. I like Lincoln Riley,
but
I like your guy, Ryan Day.
Yeah.
I do.
Lincoln Riley's lost more playoff games than Ryan Day has to Michigan. I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're still good with him, and you should be. One loss to Michigan shouldn't be, oh, got to fire this idiot. Oh, he's terrible.
No, it keeps the other doofus Jim Harbaugh employed for another year. That's great. I like that.
He's got to hope that doofus, though, isn't on to something now.
Yeah. He's okay. 1-6 against Ohio State, and then he trash talks Ryan Day. Oh, woke up on third, or he was born on third and thought he hit a triple. It's like, you might want to walk that back a little bit.
Yeah, that's a stupid thing to say. Yeah.
Says the guy who is, 2-9 who? Against Michigan State and Ohio State?
You finally get a win against them.
Who woke up on third now?
Yeah, khakis, you need to shut up on that. Great, you won. Awesome. That's fantastic. That's the first time you beat them. Let's put that in perspective, okay? It's not like you've been, taking the Buckeyes out, behind Michigan Stadium and just smacking them around all the time.
He beat you more times in the span of 365 days than you have at all. So shut up.
All right, so it's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine, and it can be something that's not sports related.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I was complaining about the guy in Connected Lakes, mountain bike guy who didn't give the hey on your left or on your right. We're out walking our dog. Could have clipped us riding by really fast. I had a few words for him. He kept riding on. That's okay. How hard is that? So you don't hurt somebody and hurt yourself too. Got Robert this morning from the bottom of my biker cyclist heart. Allow me to apologize for these jerks. I often ride the lakes trails. Always I say hello on my approach and thank those that I pass. The motorists in Grand Junction, Mesa County treat me like I'm a god. Wide berths and great common courtesy is the standard that motorists show me every time I'm out and about. Motorists are terrific around here toward bikers. Thank you, motorists. Yeah, I mean, it works both ways. It does. It works
in
both
theory,
ways. It should. It should. It doesn't always seem to be the case. For Bruce, for Wine About a Wednesday, why are the manhole covers always put in the traffic lanes? A couple of feet right or left, and it could be a smooth ride, not requiring me to swerve around or pay for an alignment. Come on, Mr. Engineer, work with us. You know who's very, very skilled at that? Missing those?
Who's
Kenda.
That?
Oh, yeah. She is so good at missing them. I'm like a magnet. I always seem to hit them for some reason. Boom. Never hits a one. But I agree with you, Bruce. For guys like you and me, that we just keep, running them over.
Yeah.
Can they just move them over to the side? I know there's probably a very logical reason, an engineering reason why that they're where they're at.
To me, it ties into the surprise that other people might want to move here. Like, we build these roads and these neighborhoods, and then other people like it here too, so now we have to expand this road over top of what is already in place, the sewer, which was in the middle.
I know, it's
now it's in the middle of the left lane, and people want to live. This is a nice place for everybody to live, so we're surprised.
Yeah,
let's
cram these roads in. Yeah, that doesn't grind my gears as much as it does probably for Bruce, but I see his point.
Right. Remember the days when First Street between Orchard and North was four lanes, and now it's like barely wide enough for three, and it didn't get any smaller.
Yeah, I know. That's the crazy thing about it. All right, it's time to talk some CSU Rams football and basketball. The voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
Talking CSU with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth, on the Jim Davis Show.
And with us right now, he's the voice of the CSU Rams, Brian Roth. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good, Jim. Good morning to you guys.
Anything you want to complain about today? It is Wine About a Wednesday. I could probably ship you a bottle of Talon wine if we can make that work.
Oh, man. I you know what? Life's actually pretty good right now.
Oh, good.
Football season's over, right?
Basketball season's great for the Rams.
In the world of Colorado State sports. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot of not to complain about at that point.
Kitchen remodels in your rearview mirror, so that's good,
that's
too.
Done.
Yeah. Kids are back in school, so
trip to Hawaii's in the rearview.
Yeah, you got that.
Nice.
You know, got that taken care of. So yeah, life is good for Brian Roth right now.
Yes, yes,
that's good.
Did you get out to the Arizona?
Did I what now?
Did you get to the USS Arizona while you were out in Hawaii?
Oh yeah, I did. I did. That was, I've been to Hawaii three times and I had not done Pearl Harbor, so that was definitely on the list, and we did, and it was really, really good. I don't want to say fun because it's pretty somber, but it was great to do.
Yeah, getting to see something that historic, that, you know, that impactful for our country, that, yeah, it obviously had to be a very moving moment for you, and hopefully one of these days I'll get the chance to make it out there and see it for myself. But of course, you wrap things up with football season. Back here at Canvas Stadium against Nevada, 52-10 victory. I mean, they jumped out early, 14 points in the first, added 17 more in the second. Just kind of that game got out of hand. Steve Addazio gets tossed in the first half. That's never happened for a Rams coach. It was just a really ugly way to end the football season.
Yeah, it was a complete disaster. I mean, it was an absolute, utter mess. And there's just no way that you thought that the season could end any worse when you go into a game with the five-game skid and you're like, okay, well, you know, Nevada comes in. They're the best offense in the Mountain West Conference. But you know what? You figure CSU would put up a fight. I mean, and that thing was 14-0 with 11 and a half to go in the first quarter of play. And, man, you could not have scripted that to go any worse. And then Steve Addazio gets thrown out of the game, something I've never seen in the sport of college football. Now, you know, mind you, I did do 6 years with Larry Eustace, so I've seen a ton in college basketball.
Sure, yeah.
But I've never seen that in the sport of football. It's a rule that was instituted back in 2016 where, you know, the head coach, if you get an unsportsmanlike conduct, it's like basketball where, you know, two technical fouls, two unsportsmanlike conduct, and you get tossed. And, man, that's what happened. I mean, it just kind of just added to the absolute misery of the night. And, yeah, not a good way for this football program to close out the season. I mean, you know, we were talking back in middle of October after the Rams came off back-to-back wins against San Jose and New Mexico, and they did it in convincing fashion. And this program was trending up. The season's trending up. This looks like a darn good football team. And then, you know, it's the complete boondoggle at the end of the Utah State game just kind of turned this season and pointed it in the wrong direction. They could never recover. I mean, six straight losses, and then to close with a 52-10 defeat against Nevada on Saturday night. Certainly makes you scratch your head, and I know there's a lot of questions surrounding this CSU football program.
Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So for Ram fans, give them some hope, Brian. Give us some hope for football for 2022. What are some things that you're excited to see and you hope for this program next season?
Well, you can turn things around quickly in college football because of the new transfer rule. So there's your hope. And you saw last year, Utah State lost their coach in the middle of the season, finished 1-6, quit at the end of the season, didn't even want to come to play CSU last year, and a program that was in complete shambles. Well, you know, they bring in 15 Division I transfers, and they hit on just about all of them, and they're playing in the Mountain West Conference Championship game at San Diego State on Saturday. So, you know, there's some hope right there. You do have some good young talent here, but you've got a lot of areas that you need fixed, and fixed fast. The offensive line, the secondary wide receiver. So you can go out and get transfers. And again, they don't have to be graduate transfers. Any transfer the first time is immediately eligible, so you can go out and get immediate fixes. But that's always a dangerous game to play because, you know, you're not always going to hit on those guys. And you bring in guys who don't fit the program or don't fit within the culture of what the coaching staff's trying to build. You know, it can go the opposite way on you. But there's your bright hope, your bright spot for the future. How can this program recover from a 3-9 season? Well, it's a little bit easier this day and age with the way the graduate transfers and, of course, obviously the new transfer rule.
What about the quarterback spot? Todd Senteo, of course, he's done now as the quarterback at CSU. How does that look in terms of who's currently in house? You know, obviously, you know, you might get a guy from the transfer portal, but what about the quarterback position heading into next year with what's currently on the roster?
Right. Well, you know, Todd Senteo actually can't come back. So
he can. Okay. So he still has.
Yeah, he can. So, you know, college football is really weird.
Okay.
Like, you can't even tell when you look at rosters this year who can come back and who can't without really doing a deep dive, because the COVID season last year obviously didn't count towards anybody eligibility. And so when Todd Senteo came in, he did have 2 years of eligibility left, but last year didn't count as one of those two. So he's going to come back. I don't think there's any question about that. And so, you know, it's when you look at rosters, everybody's listed as if last year counted. That's just the way that most people around college football have done it. And so, you know, it's hard to say who's can come back and who can't. I mean, there's certain guys who just flat out can't come back because they are out of eligibility. But there's a lot of guys who were listed as seniors this year on rosters that can come back. And Todd Senteo is one of them. I would fully expect him to be back. And, you know, I mean, at this point, Todd Senteo would be the starting quarterback. And I don't see that changing. Not to say that the Rams wouldn't go and look for a quarterback in the transfer market, but yeah, I think he's probably going to be. If Steve Adazio is here, and I think he will be, then Senteo's probably going to be your starting quarterback next year.
If I can ask you, when you said that, if Steve Adazio is still here,
yeah,
is there something going on that?
Well, you know, no. I mean, just you get the temperature of Ram Nation, right?
Right.
Ram fans and. These fans are less than pleased. And, you know, I think, you know, I get people ask me all the time, is Adazio coming back? Is Adazio coming back? It was like basically the only question I've gotten from my fans in the last week and a half. And I would say that, yes, I'm expecting him fully to be back. But I would say this, that, you know, given what happened on Saturday night, the fact that he gets thrown out, regular season finale, you lose 52-10 to cap off a 6-game skid to close out the season. You know, that's there's some problems there, and not that they can't be fixed by this coaching staff, but you know that obviously raises some red flags, certainly in the eyes of fans. And of course, we all know fans, media, everybody is as reactive as we've ever been in the history of sports. So in politics, whatever it is, I mean, all hyper-reactive these days. Everything is. And so, you know, Ram fans aren't pleased with the way that this season turned out. So, but I think he's coming back. But I can tell you this, most of the Ram fans I talk to would like to see a fresh start.
And what, the buyout's, what, $3 million right now? I believe, I think it drops. I think last week it dropped to $3
million. Dropped today.
Oh, dropped today. Dropped today. Okay, so That is a possibility. I mean, he is the first Rams coach to lose 12 of his opening 16 games. You know, that's, you know, since 1970 with the legendary Jerry Wampler, not to be confused with Judge Wampler or whatever from the People's Court, but Judge Wapner. Judge Wapner back in the day. It's on in 5 minutes, you know, like Rain Man was back in the day. Had to watch his People's Court, but. But and you're, as of right now, I mean, you're expecting Adazio to be back there once again.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to some CSU basketball, because that's a far more pleasant topic to talk about.
Perfect.
Brian. Rams off to a 7-0 start. get the win against like in-state rival, I guess a good way to put it, with Northern Colorado, not in the same conference, but Northern Colorado rivals, if you will, a nice win. Of course, you got to do the double last weekend with the football game and the Rams men's basketball game, but nice win to get to 7-0 on the season for Nico Medved and the Rams basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, it was a highly entertaining game on Saturday and a great crowd. You know, students weren't around, but they nearly got 5,000 fans into Moby Arena, which is great when you factor in no students were there. And, you know, UNC is a pretty good basketball team. They were picked to finish fifth in the Big Sky, returned four starters off last year's team, and they can really shoot the basketball. And we should also point this out. They have a lot of Colorado guys, on that team that play. And you know how it goes. I mean, it works some of that way with CSU against CU, and it works some of that way with UNC against CSU, where, you know, you get some guys on that UNC roster that didn't get recruited by Colorado State, and they kind of come into the arena with a chip on their shoulder. You know, credit UNC. I mean, they came out and just started raining threes, and just bam, bam, bam. And they're an elite three-point shooting team, and you know, Jim, you've called enough basketball, whether it be the high school level or the college level, you know, heck, even the NBA level. I mean, if you have a team that is just lighting it up from the outside, it's going to be a tough game to win. And in the end, UNC made 18 threes in the game, and I don't think they hit a three in the final 8 minutes. I mean, they were on pace to be at about 24 or 25 threes made, but they kind of ran out of gas. Colorado State, obviously the better team, was able to, you know, withstand those big three-point barrages, down by as many as 13 in the second half. But Rams closed out the game on a 17-5 run to win it. So, you know, this is a Colorado State team that continues to show its maturity, its competitive nature, and, you know, talent as well. I mean, really, really good. But it's been a fun start to the season, sitting at 7-0.
Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And tonight, chance to get to 8-0 over at Moby Arena, hosting Little Rock. They're 4-3. They're coming off the loss to Tulsa. What can you tell us about the Little Rock Trojans?
Big, and a lot of international players. They have a lot of guys from Serbia and Belgrade. So it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be as big of a team as CSU has faced here this season. So, you know, it'll be a good test. And then coming up on Saturday, Jim, you know, St. Mary's comes in. And St. Mary's, a team out of the West Coast that has been to the NCAA tournament a ton, and they sit at 6-1. Their only loss was neutral court, 5-point loss to Wisconsin. They beat Oregon. They beat Notre Dame. They're really, really good. And, you know, you look at the metrics, and this will be a huge opportunity on Saturday for the Rams when they take on St. Mary's, to get a marquee win, right? To get a resume building type win as you try to build that resume into the Mountain West Conference, and then obviously Selection Sunday in March. Games like the Rams have coming up against St. Mary's, Mississippi State, Alabama, all coming up in the next 2-3 weeks, going to be huge, huge games for Colorado State as they look a little bit further ahead and try to make their case for an NCAA tournament at large bid.
Hey, Brian, one final thing I want to ask you about today. We'll go back to college football with Lincoln Riley going to USC, Brian Kelly going to, you know, from Notre Dame to LSU. Just your take on the movement of some of these coaches. And just today I've been complaining about, if you're Lincoln Riley, why are you saying I'm a Sooner for life? If you're a Sooner for life, well, then why are you leaving Oklahoma then? How about you just don't say that? Hey, Brian Kelly, why don't you give your kids more than 11 minutes and let them ask some questions about why you're leaving them when you're going to maybe, possibly, certainly have a good opportunity of getting into the college football playoffs. There's that chance is still there for Notre Dame. I just don't get it. I mean, okay, handle this better going out the door, you know, for both these guys and what they've done. It's just, come on. It's just, to me, it's ridiculous.
It is. It is. I mean, they're like politicians, aren't they? I mean, they really are. There's no difference. I mean, you know, they're all looking out for number one at the end of the day, and yet they all say other things out on the public front. And, you know, it's just the way it is, man. I don't know any other way to explain it. And of course, the almighty dollar speaks, right? I mean, you know, you look at Lincoln Riley's deal, you know, they buy us two houses in Oklahoma for $500,000 over asking price. I mean, they're buying him a $6 million house in L.A. You know, he gets free use of the private jet 24/7, 365. And, you know, I mean, it's just it's interesting. I mean, here's Brian Kelly, who has a much better situation currently in the last 2 years than LSU. He has his team on the verge of possibly being included into the playoff, what, the second time in 4 years, three times in 4 years? And, you know, yet that's not good enough for him. So it's just, it's interesting. I think, you know, money plays a major factor into it. But, you know, you go back to Lincoln Riley, I think kind of what he sees is bright lights of L.A., opportunity to maybe get on a bigger national stage if you can turn USC around, because there's no question when USC's good, it's as good as anybody in the nation, including Alabama, as in terms of a job and the bright lights and the notoriety that comes along with it. And you know what? He's not going to be in the SEC either.
Yeah, I mean, so, I think that's
a big...
In the
Pac-12 than the SEC, you get a lot more wins.
Yeah, and I said that a while back where he was supportive of Oklahoma making the move. And I'm like, okay, what's he supposed to say? You know, go against his employer? No, I think this is a terrible idea. No, he's going to go along with it until he can find a better gig and get out of there, which he obviously, in his mind, has found that with USC.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and look, it's a cutthroat business. I mean, coaches, we're talking about Steve Adazio. You know, I know Ram fans would love to see him fired, and yet he's only coached 16 games. Is that enough? Probably not, but in 2021, 16 games is enough for anybody at this point to say you're either good or you're bad, or you either going to turn this program around or you're not. So, you know, coaches get fired at the drop of the hat, and they leave at the drop of a hat, which we've seen now, and of course we've been seeing for the last 5-6 years. And so I don't want to hear anybody complain, any coaches or university administrators complain about NIL.
Right.
Okay. And the transfer rule. If coaches can pick up and leave the drop of the hat, certainly a player should have that ability too. And they do have that now, at least after the first transfer that they have. So, yeah, I don't want to hear any coaches ever complain again about, oh, gosh, my best player went up and he left for University B when he could have stayed here at University A. That doesn't hold any water anymore.
Yeah, amen. I mean, yeah, you can't hold them to a standard that you're not willing to hold yourself to.
Yep. Yeah. And all the coaches are chasing money. I think it's all right if a college athlete has a marketable skill, okay, whether that's be in the form of camps or just be in the form of his name and face representing the local Toyota dealership, that they're more than open to their equal compensation. I mean, it's, yeah.
All right, Brian. I always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a good call tonight.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Brian Roth, voice of the CSU Rams. Yeah, I don't think Steve Adazio is probably going to be leaving for any big-time jobs right now. He's going to have a hard time keeping the one he has. No Ram coach. Of course, the rule hasn't been around that long, but no Ram coach has ever been ejected, as far as football, from a game.
I've never seen a head coach ejected in football, ever.
I'll be honest, I'd forgot about that rule.
Yeah.
That could happen. But Steve Adazio found a way to
make
have that bad boy kick into effect. It's going to be ugly. It already is ugly. With where he is right now in terms of, I mean, his first 16 games of his career as the Rams head coach. Remember how humiliating it was to lose to South Dakota State?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they started winning some football games, played well. Mm-hmm. And then you have guys like Sean Keeler on the Denver Post. Oh, look, Rams are what the Buffs wish they were.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Both teams, the Buffs ended up with one more win than the Rams did. So,
and they both want to the finish.
Exactly.
So
yeah, neither one of them had this big gangbuster turnaround.
No.
And then to get just housed the way they did at home. And they had 13,000?
Tens of people, yeah.
Yeah, 13,000 no-shows or something like that. In a place that even when they're good, it's been a struggle at times to get people there.
It's one of the Rams... media guy, not for the Rams, but follows and covers the Rams, Kevin right. Lytle from the Front Range. Follow him on Twitter, and he had a picture.
The Loveland paper, I believe.
I think so. Yeah. He had a picture on Twitter of the stands, and there were plenty of good seats available for that game.
Yeah.
At the start, before it got out of hand.
Yeah, I just...
It was not good.
And I don't think it's going to get any better at this point in time.
Not the way they're going.
And look, what's happened here in recent days shows the disparity that exists, mm-hmm. thing we've talked about a lot, between the Power Five and the Group of Five.
Yeah.
You think Colorado State is going to have $95 million to give to somebody to come and coach their football team? Or they're going to have a private jet available 24/7, 365 for their new football coach? No.
What you need to do is you need to be able to identify hot young assistants for every 2, 3, 4 years if you're Colorado State.
And you hope you can keep them for the 4 or 5 years, yep. and then you have to start
but
fresh because they're going
to
be gone.
You have a guy that you need to have a good scouting and development, like to use a baseball term, a good scouting and development system, because you can look and say, all right, that guy, he's going to be a hot commodity in 5 years. Let's try to get him now.
Yeah.
That guy is going to be a hot commodity in 7 years. Let's put him somewhere to where maybe we can get in contact with him when this guy leaves. You're not going to get the 30-year head coach anymore at Colorado State.
No, you're not.
You're not going to get Earl Bruce. Notre Dame is a stepping stone now.
You're not going to get Earl Bruce. Like when they got Earl Bruce from mm-hmm. Ohio State. You're not going to get that kind of guy that's had success at the Big Ten level. Mm-hmm. Sonny Lubick, who was at Miami, defensive coordinator there. You're not going to get those guys anymore.
If you want veteran coaches with experience, you're getting the Steve Adazios.
Guys that have kind of ran their course. They're clearly the retread coach.
500 coaches at Power 5 level. That's
yeah,
what you're getting.
That eventually... You know, they have one or two good years, mm-hmm. then they have like three really mediocre to poor years. They move on, and it's rinse and repeat.
And nobody wins with that guy.
No. You reach a ceiling. You reach a level of, hey, you might get bowl eligible mm-hmm. once every 3 years.
But you can win with up-and-comers.
Right, because they come in, shake things up. Young players, particularly if you're a younger coach, mm-hmm. buy into what they're doing. They like the energy. You're not going to keep them there forever mm-hmm. because they're going to do well enough that they're going to move on, like a Brian Kelly did when he was younger.
Yeah. Notre Dame and Oklahoma were stepping stone jobs this week.
Which, think about that. They were stepping stone jobs to other Power 5 conference programs. Mm-hmm. And in the case of LSU, a far worse program than where Notre Dame is right now, by a long shot. USC, same deal. They're worse than Oklahoma right now, and they have been the last couple of years. Last several years, to be quite honest. Even when Darnold 15. Was there, they were okay. They weren't great.
Yeah. You have to realize that, admit it, and then embrace it and work with
and,
it.
And be okay with we're going to have to flip out a coach yeah. probably every 4 or 5 years.
Turn into the skid.
Yeah. And embrace that.
Yep.
And be okay with, we're not going to have a guy that's going to be here for 12 years. Or like Brian Kelly, what, 11 years at Notre Dame. Who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
It's our buddy Sam from Fruita.
Okay. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Jim Davis, I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, fine, Samuel. Fine. Good to hear from you.
Hey, I wanted to add a comment to an earlier whine this hour mm-hmm. about the placement of manhole covers in our lovely valley.
Okay.
You know, it's not really the placement that's the problem. It's the fact that, for some reason, they can't get them within 2 inches of being flush to the surrounding pavement.
That's a fair observation. Yeah, it wouldn't be so bad if they were there. They were just more level, not, little 2-inch dip or whatever.
You know, it's kind of like engineered potholes. And it's probably been a couple summers ago. I think Libby was mentioning road work that was being done around the area, and I can't remember where it was, but it was to adjust the manhole covers. And I'm thinking, gee, they must have screwed up and got them flush. They got to drop them those 2 inches.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a good way to solve the problem. You can't move them, right? I mean, that's going to be a real big pain in the butt. At least make them more flush with the the pavement. I like that. Maybe Sam, maybe you need to put in your resume to the city, you know. And
I've got a lot of things I could say to the traffic engineers in this valley. most of it they don't want to hear.
Well, you could be a consultant. Everybody loves to be a consultant, or bring in a consultant. You could be a consultant. I like that.
There you go. Hey, you guys have a great day.
You too, Sam. Take care. Sam from Fruita today. I like that for Sam. Maybe that could be his a new side gig. Traffic, you know, consultant to the city of Grand Junction, and maybe to the county as well. See, one from Jared. What does getting a top five pick get you? The teams picking there consistently are there for a reason. There are pretty damn good players drafted 15 to 32 every year. I agree with that. I don't.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong about that. Let's see. From an unnamed texter. Oh, this is actually GJ and GJ, excuse me. My whine is the automatic first down. If it's 3rd and 25 and there is a 5-yard defensive holding penalty, it should not be called a first down. GJ and GJ, you were with us on that. I should not be an automatic first down.
This is why my new football rule needs to come into effect, because I feel that some offensive penalties need to include a loss of down. If they're going to get a free first down on 3rd and 25 on defensive holding, then on a holding, offensive holding, you should lose a down. Just saying.
That would even it up. And, you know,
yeah, pre-snap, no.
Like, right.
False starts, illegal formations,
none of that. No, no. Because at one point you were trying to lobby for that. It was a false start. I'm like, that's
I've come around.
That's pretty draconian. I don't know about that.
In play, you shouldn't get to redo the down if the ball is snapped legally, right?
Right.
That shouldn't be fair, because like he said, you not only do you pick up one, you pick up two downs if it's first down. You get a fresh set. If it's 2nd and 10 and you get a holding, it should be 3rd and whatever the penalty is, because you ran the play. You just cheated on it.
No, I like that. I do. I think that's make it fair.
Yeah.
Holding penalty, loss of down. If you're going to get a first down on a, you know, a defensive holding penalty, should be
worked
the same way.
Quarterback's only going to throw for 4,800 yards instead of 51 because of that. Oh, darn.
So I had a text from my friend Jeremy over at Ken Richards State Farm. Good morning, Jeremy. Who was the week 12 winner? The week we have week 9. That's who we have right now. And that's Tim MacArthur.
Okay.
He was actually, excuse me, week 11 winner is Tim MacArthur. We do not have a week 12 winner just yet.
Not yet.
Sorry, this was week 11.
Yeah.
And he wins the $50 gift card to Fisher. So, Jeremy, we don't know who won for this week just yet. We have to wait till our promotions department gets that to us, and they have to get it from somebody else, the company that is the one that is in charge of our Pile Pigskin Pick'em contest.
There's
so.
Buttons and whistles and levers and printers and dongles. There's a lot going on.
It's totally out of our hands on that. But hopefully we'll have an answer the next couple of days for you.
There's a fax machine involved?
There might be. Semaphore flags.
Dial up.
Smoke signals. Bringing Marconi and Tesla back from the grave, and they're putting together some kind of system to relay the information.
They're flashing lights in Morse code. There's a lot going on.
All right, 9:33. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back in. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call 970-242-1340. So we got a couple more. Got one from Mr. Beauregard this morning. Good morning, Steve. My two wines are the defensive players who run into the opposite end zone to do the fake photo shoot after every turnover.
That should be a delay of game.
Also the fact every ESPN 30 on 30 is about a team from New York, LA, or Chicago. Those are fair criticisms.
Mm-hmm. That thing, the team photo thing, should be a delay of game. Or, since there's like 14 or 15, 16 guys, illegal participation. Just to get it to stop. You can't look at the other bench without taunting, but you can have, you know, practice squad dudes run on the field to get into the picture. Come on.
Like, I want guys to have fun. It should be fun, because what was the label always? The NFL.
It's, you know, no
NFL
fun
no fun league. And it should be fun.
And it was kind of cute and humorous the first 15 or 20 times. But every turnover?
Yeah, exactly. Touchdown, fine. Okay?
Pick six, don't care. Go ahead.
Fine. If it's a touchdown, okay, if it's an offensive or defensive touchdown, that's fine. That should be it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Don't celebrate in a fumble recovery.
Right.
Interception. Stop.
And we talked
just stop.
With Ron Kopp last hour about Dan Sorensen for the Chiefs. And I referenced it a couple weeks ago, but there's a video of Tyrann Mathieu, who is always so irritated because Dan Sorensen blows coverage. And you see these videos from the end zone cameras and receivers running downfield wide open, Dan Sorensen chasing him like a madman, and Tyrann Mathieu with his hands in the air. I watched the Chiefs game about 3 weeks ago. There was somebody that was wide open. I can't remember who they were playing. Wide open. Dan Sorensen was maybe 40 feet away. And it overthrew, and Dan Sorensen started waving his arms like he broke up the pass. You should get flagged for that. For being both bad and stupid.
You're 40 yards away.
Yeah.
No, stop it.
40 feet.
Well, 40 feet. I'm sorry. Like 40 yards. 40 feet.
He was 12, 13 yards away. He was barely in the shot.
How about you need to be there and actually make the play?
Yeah. You have to touch the football to celebrate.
Yeah, I love that when it's, vertical route, ball gets thrown to the boundary, mm-hmm. incomplete.
Yeah.
DB's like 3 yards behind the receiver, and he's mm-hmm. like he broke it up. No, it was a bad throw.
Yep.
And he threw it out of bounds. You had nothing to do with that receiver not catching the football.
Or the opposite side safety. You know, like you're 30 yards downfield and 20 yards across the field and you're all waving like you did something. You just need to stop. But if you pick it off and take it to the house, you know what?
Okay.
Bring everybody down.
Carry
some coaches, take a picture, whatever.
Get mom points. And dad out of the stands. I don't care. That's fine.
You get points. You can do whatever you want. But you don't get any points. You don't touch the football. You should probably
first down.
Get a penalty.
I catch a pass for a first down.
You can point.
But stop acting like you just scored.
Yeah.
Okay? Or, the big drag. Mm. First down!
Yeah.
How about you made the play?
You just point.
You want a point?
That's fine.
You want a point? I'm okay with that.
But you do the Michael Irvin. It's like, great. You're still at your own 17. This is awesome. But you got a first down.
You caught a 3-yard pass on an out for a first down.
Yeah. Good for you,
Skippy. Good for you, Tommy.
Yep. Like, don't bat flip unless it clears the wall. It's the same theory.
If you come up with a 45-yard catch
mm-hmm.
for a first down, okay, get a little excited.
You can do the Michael Irvin.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, exactly.
You Randy Moss someone, you know what? Go ahead. You jump right over their back and steal it
from
them.
If you want to go a little playmaker, sure. That's mm-hmm. fine. Needs to be a big play, though.
Yeah.
I ran a 3 or 4 yard out. I caught the ball out in the right flat, and I ran out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And the linebacker was 5 yards behind me.
But if you're
stop it.
If you're the safety, and the defensive tackle makes a stop on a run play, and you run 20 yards in there, and then hold up your fist like fourth down, just made a tackle. Stop.
Nothing to do with it.
I understand you're fired up, but you look like a dork.
There comes a point where. It's a team game, but there's also individual accomplishment. You play no role in that.
Mm-hmm.
That guy just did that. That guy wants to celebrate. Let that guy celebrate. Yeah.
There are caddies that help out more with club selection than some of these celebrating defensive backs.
All right, we got Peyton, our interns, in here today. Okay, so you told me you had nothing to complain about. So do you have something along this vein that you want to gripe about a little bit today?
We're talking about celebrating as if you just did something.
Right. And you didn't do anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's just you trying to show off you doing nothing pretty much. You know, you run across the field, and you're like incomplete, you're doing that with your arms. And it's like, what did you do? Yeah, what did you do?
Are you going to take off and fly?
Exactly. That's something that kind of bugs me a little bit as well.
You know what it is? It's why does the dad get the victory cigar when the child is born? You didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Mom should get bourbon. She should get as many cigars as she wants. She's the one that did something.
Give her a nice box of wine. Come on.
Yeah. Something.
You're out there smoking a victory cigar. We did it.
We did it.
You participated in the production process. You provided material to the job site.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had the fun part, but nothing else.
You did not build this house.
No.
No. You went out and you got some quick crate.
You ran through
some boards and you from the Home Depot and or Lowe's or wherever.
You ran through the sprinklers to make sure they worked.
You dropped them off at the job site, and then the house arrived.
Yeah.
And with the master carpenter that did all the work, built the whole thing.
Even
for 9 months, you don't get a cigar, in my opinion.
Yeah. See, the carrying of the quickcrete is still kind of difficult.
Yeah, well, they had somebody load it up though at the local hardware store.
You got to drive the truck. You got the fun part. That's about it.
Somebody loaded up the truck with the materials.
You took it to the job site, and then somebody else unloaded it.
You got it there. And then somebody else built the house.
Yeah, and then they built the house while you just stood there with your
big
cigar.
Look at me with my big stogie. Look at me. Look what I did. Look at my junior, my little girl, my little gal there.
Good job, honey. I'm going for pizza with the boys. And you're going to come back dead.
Yeah. Being through a childbirth, being there for it. Birth of our daughter.
Almost went with the going through.
No, I didn't go through.
You were in attendance.
We went through it together in terms of I was there supporting her incredible, amazing efforts.
It was a shared experience. Kind of. Slightly.
Somewhat, yes. But it was pretty much her deal.
But that's the parenting version of the safety coming in. On fourth down with his fist raised. Like, we did it, boys. You did nothing.
Let me pass out some cigars to all you boys over 20 yards away from the play. Yeah. Good job, boys.
Yeah, I picked up a first down. All right, we're still inside our own 20. Good for you.
Look at that 3-yard catch that I had. Yeah, we're at our own 25 now. Aren't you boys impressed? Fantastic work. Oh, okay. 9:45. Where were we? I have no idea. So I need to get to this day in sports history. I didn't realize it was, one final thing about the childbirthing situation. Lamaze class, that tends, at least in my limited experience, to go out the window in a hurry. About the time you tell your wife to do the breathing stuff, she's like, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up and let me hold my hand. Let me hold your hand and I'm going to probably break your hand because... their superhuman strength that comes out of that body during all that stuff.
You are the reason I'm having to breathe like this.
Don't tell me how to do it. We went to those classes. I get it. That was then. This is now. Rubber's meeting road here.
Yeah.
Things are going down. I don't need you to tell me how to breathe. I'll be just fine. Just hold my hand. Let me crush your hand and don't say a word.
I got this. Just sit there and shut up.
Shut up. Simple as that. All right, this day in sports history, 1936, and Larry Kelly of Yale is named the Heisman Trophy winner. That would have been the first Heisman Trophy, I believe. 36? Been the first one?
I think so. That was Jay Berwanger, wasn't he the first
one? Yeah, I think Jay Berwanger was what?
32, 34?
Yeah. Anyway, Larry Kelly won it on this day. 1951, Arnold Showboat Boykin of Mississippi scores 7 touchdowns in a 49-7 rout of Mississippi State. 1956, the United States beats the Soviet Union 89-55 to win the gold medal in men's basketball at the Melbourne Olympics.
He's a big, hairy American winning machine.
Gingard scored 16 points. Casey Jones, who's going to be a great with the Boston Celtics, 15 points.
He was also in the Ninja Turtles, too, wasn't he?
I believe so. Yes, he wore the hockey mask.
Yes.
He wore the hockey. This was KC.
Oh.
Like in the initials for Kansas City, not Casey like Casey at the bat.
Like KC in the Sunshine Band.
Correct. Okay. That would be correct. And Bill Russell, 13 points in that one.
My favorite Bill Russell stat is he's the only guy to ever win a college national championship, a gold medal, and an NBA championship in essentially a year. I think it's like 370 days. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's good work if you can get it.
You think of that period of time, Bill Russell, Wilt, around that period of time as collegians and then future NBA superstars. Pretty amazing. 1959, Louisiana State halfback Billy Cannon is named the Heisman Trophy winner. Also, 1973, Jack Nicklaus wins the Disney World Open to become the first professional golfer to surpass $2 million in career earnings. 1980, South Carolina running back George Rogers is named the Heisman Trophy winner. All right, 948.
$2 million in career earnings?
Yeah.
Guys win that in a round
now.
I know,
but back then, that was some sweet Jack. That was some big money back in the day.
Larry Kelly was the second ever Heisman Trophy winner. 1936, 35 was Jay Berwanger.
Berwanger, what, service academies?
University of Chicago.
Oh, Chicago, okay.
So, and then you didn't get your first service academy winner until Doc Blanchard in 45.
And then Glenn Davis was later, right?
The next year.
Okay. All right, 948. We will take a break. We'll come back. Some garbage time on the way next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes. Yeah! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 951. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. All right, let's get to some baseball to wrap up the hour. Hopefully work in some garbage time as well. That the Rockies, they made the move yesterday, signing Daniel Bard to a contract extension. So Bard, 1 year, $4.4 million. Tyler Kinley also avoids arbitration with a deal a little over $1 million. So Bard, who, remember, with the great comeback story, right? Flamed out with the Red Sox, was working as a pitching instructor out in Arizona, comes back, was really good for the Rockies in, you know, his return to baseball in several years. And then last year, took some steps back. He had just the 20 saves last year, and he was only like about 71% of his save opportunities that he cashed in on, where he was about 100% the season before. Are you surprised, though? This is a classic Rockies kind of low-cost move to keep a guy like Daniel Bard.
Yeah. Look, we're trying.
Yeah, see?
Oh, John Gray out the door. But hey, we're trying.
And then there's John Gray, who, of course, signed with the Texas Rangers, signing a 4-year, $56 million deal. Remember the Rockies kept saying, you know, we really want him here. And they said that they had made an offer to him 3 years between $35 and $40 million. But the sense is, according to the Denver Post, that while the Rockies kept saying they made an offer, that Gray didn't feel like that they really got a true offer from the Rockies in that situation.
And it's not like the Rockies really lowballed him. I mean, it was only $2 million difference. And if they didn't want to come up to that number, I mean, that's kind of a bad look for the Rockies. We're going to spend money this offseason. Okay, well, John Gray wants 14 a year. Well, we offered him 12 and a half. And that's it.
Well, according to reports that the Rockies, you know, that multiple sources within the Rockies front office contended they offered Gray a contract in July that he turned down. Gray repeatedly said through the final 2 months of the season no offer had been made, not until the final week of the season. So, who's telling the truth there?
I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to John Gray's side, because I kind of have an idea how the Rockies operate. This is classic Jeff Breidich, right? And because his underling was put into that spot, and a guy that doesn't know anything about baseball is now in charge of baseball operations. I don't have any confidence in the Rockies to get it right.
You know, was he worth $18.4 million per year? Probably not, but I'm sure he wanted to stay there. Mm-hmm. They could have found a way to make this work.
Yeah.
And it didn't sound like the Rockies. I think they just kind of assumed that he wanted to stay there.
Right. He what, 4 years, 56?
Yeah, 4 years, 56 with the Rangers.
That's $14 million a year.
Yeah.
They offered him 3 for 30. That's 12. 3 for 40 is like, what, 12 and a half, somewhere around there? That's not that big of a gap. They could have covered that if they wanted to. I don't think they wanted to.
10 o'clock tonight, by the way, our time, is when the collective bargaining agreement expires.
And 10:01 is when the locks go on, figuratively. And somewhere, literally.
And nothing's been done to really resolve this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's quickly...
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Sorry, Oscar, no time for Oscar today. But we do have Peyton, our intern, who's got a very quick garbage time.
Yeah, very quick. Mike Tomlin just doesn't want to have any fun at practice. Chase Claypool requested music to make practices more fun, a little bit more entertaining, to stay involved and, you know, stay updated, you know, in the game practice. Mike Tomlin says, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that.
Okay. That's all Mike wants to say about that. No music, no fun.
Yep.
Back with you tomorrow.